Okay. All right, so let's get started. So we're holding on dialodometer Alex about the middle of the R mode. Okay, so the last thing is then, so we're talking about this, we're dealing with this issue, the machloikas of Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan, where you have a basket that was used to hold Taurus, and you had Taurus in one corner of it, you found the sheriff in a different corner, and the question is whether the Taurus became Tame or not. So Chizkiya had said that the original Taurus remained Tahor. We're not concerned that the sheriff touched him. Rav Yochanan said that not. The Gemara had discussed a number of possibilities, what the machloikas is. One is there's a difference whether it has a bottom or whether it doesn't have a bottom. There could be a difference whether it has rims that hang over or not. There could be a difference whether it was checked ahead of time. So the last thing we said was that regarding different corners of the box at all. It may be actually regarding different corners of the room. So the box was originally in one corner of the room with Taurus in it. Later on, it was moved to another corner, and you found a sheriff over there. So the question is, are we machzik tumah mimakom lemakom? Do we assume that the sheriff may have been in the basket when it was in the first corner, and then he carried it to the other corner with the sheriff still in it, and therefore the Taurus are Tame? Or is it more likely that maybe he brought it over here, and only then did the sheriff fall into it? In that case, by that time, the Taurus have already been taken out. So we're saying the question is whether we're machzik tumah mimakom lemakom. Chizkiya holds that we don't, and Rav Yochanan says that we do. Let's go back a couple of lines and start from Mimachtekin, and the line begins Lamachin.
Sure.
Okay, so the Gemara says Mimachtekin, so you're telling me that this man holds that we're Mimachtek Tumah Mimachin Lamachin, that we assume that the Tumah that we find in the basket now may have actually been carried there from the other corner. So the question is, do we really say that? But no, we learn in a Mishnah, in the Sefer Talis, Noga be'echa balayla, if one person touches another one during the night, the any day am chayim mes, at that point he doesn't know whether the other person's alive or dead, or l'macha hishku l'machay mes, the next morning he wakes up in the morning and finds him dead, the mayor metahar v'chachamim metamin, the mayor says that the guy is tahor, because we assume, basically we say, the guy had a chazaka, he was alive before, and now we still assume he was alive as late as possible, and the chachamim say he's tamei. Because the rule is for kolat tumas kishas mitziyotan, the rule is we always assume that tumas go according to what the status was when they were exactly as they were found. Meaning, in other words, like this: we find that the person is dead. Therefore, we should assume that he was dead at the time that the other guy touched him. So therefore the chachamim say he's going to be tamei. The Tanya law, and we learn in a braisa on that, kishas mitziyotan, uhumakam mitziyotan. Not only according to the current status, like for example, right now we find the guy dead, so we assume he was dead before, but also uhumakam mitziyotan, we also go according to the actual place where they were found. So if you find him in the morning, in the same place where you touch them at night, then yes, you're Tomei. But if you found them in a different place, then you're Tahor. We don't assume then that he was dead in the first place and then was moved over here. We assume that only if he's dead, it's in the same place where we actually found him.
In an open room, right? In an open place.
Obviously. If it was in a closed place, then obviously you have so much oil anyway, then it's a moot point. Right, exactly.
Okay.
But here we're talking about, the question is, why would Rav Yochanan assume then that if we find the sheriff in the basket after we move it to the second corner, why would we assume that it was already in the basket from the first corner and it was moved here? That goes against this idea of kol atumas kishas mitziyotan over makam mitziyotan. V'chi teima. So you might answer the difference there is hani mili listroif. Maybe you would say, okay, we're not machzik tumah l'makom l'makom to say that it's vaday tomei to go so far as to burn the truma. That we're not going to do. Avol listrois kolinon. But maybe we would argue that if it comes to that maybe as a suffix, maybe we would treat it as a suffix, and we would say we would treat it as a suffix, and we would say therefore that the toilet we can't eat that truma, but we can't burn it either. So maybe in that case, so maybe then Rabbi Yochanan is not saying in the case of the sheret that it's vaday tomei. So maybe Rabbi Yochanan doesn't mean it's vaday tomei. Maybe he only means it's suffix tomei. And the Mishnah is saying the same thing. The question is, umi talinam. But do we even do that? Do we even say that it's a suffix? When we use this rule of kolat tomei keshas nesiyasan, we don't even say that it's a suffix. We say it's a vaday, that it's tar. But not. We learn in another Mishnah. We learn in another Mishnah, also in Taras. Machach shenimtis malaya chaluda. If you find a needle that's all rusty, which, when it's rusty, it's not makabel tumah anymore, because in general, a keli is only makabel tumah when it's usable in its current state. And if it's rusty, then it's not makabel tumah anymore. And even if it was tumah before, it's no longer tumah once it's rusty, because it can't be used for anything useful. Oshvura, or you find it broken, and now you find it sits, you find it rusty or broken sitting on top of tablets. So Rashi explains the scenario is, let's say you happen to recognize this needle, you know that previously this needle became tomei. So now the question is it still tomei? Did it land on the taharet while it was still usable, and therefore it was tomei, and it was metame the taharet, and then afterwards it became rusty, it was sitting there for a few days and it became rusty, or do we assume that it was already rusty when it fell there, and if it is, and it's not, then it wasn't metame the food? And the Mishnah says tahara, the food is tahar, or rather the needle itself is tahar. Shekola tumas keshas nesiyasan, because all tumas you go according to how it is when they find it. Now, so that means you're saying it's vadei tahar, vamai. Now, why would we say that? According to Rabbi Yochanan, lema, shouldn't we say hai meikra machat mal yasi? Shouldn't we argue that maybe according to Rabbi Yochanan, originally it was a good needle, it was a usable needle, it wasn't rusty or anything. Vahashkahu dehel chaloda, and only now did it become rusty.
How quick? I mean, overnight.
Well, now, first of all, I suppose it could be if it was a moist area or whatever. You know, nowadays they make needles out of stainless steel; they don't rust that easily. But you know, you're talking with the kind of iron they had in those days. But whatever. The point is that you could have, let's say, that you know, it fell there a week ago, and it's been sitting there a week, and during that week it could have become rusty. So according to that Mishnah, we're saying that we consider it vaday tahor, where according to Rabbi Yochanan, if we're saying in the case of the sheret. And then the two corners of the room, it sounds like according to Rabbi Yochanan, it should at least be suffix tomei. So what's going on? By the way, I mean, the Tosafot over here asks the question, if we're saying, the question would also be, how would Rabbi Yochanan understand Shammai's opinion? If you're telling me that you have to at least be Tola, then back to our Mishnah, why would Shammai say, Kol HaNafshim Dayei Nishayten? Why would he not be concerned about, you find in the end that she's Tomei, shouldn't we assume that she was Tomei sometime before that, like Hillel and the Chachamim say? And he answers again, like the Gemara had used previously, on Gimel of the Days, that ultimately Shammai wants to be as makel as possible in order not to interfere with Tiri of Rivia, in order not to interfere with her.
If it's not too hard, just get a little close to the phone, because
sure.
I hear in and out, I don't hear the...
Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay. All right. So again, the question is, that Mishnah seems to be saying that in the case of the needle, we definitely consider it tahor. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying that, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it's either doubtfully tomei or vadei tomei, as the case may be. So how does that work? But also we learn in another Mishnah, which is actually another Mishnah in Taharis, which we're also going to discuss later in our Masechta. The Mishnah says, Masa sheret sarup al gabe hazin. If you find a burnt sheret on top of olive, so once it's burnt, it's not matame anymore. But the question is, again, was it burnt and then deposited on top of the olives? In that case, it wasn't the family then. Or could it be that it was there first, it was dead, then it was burnt, and now it therefore was Matama the olive while it was still whole. V'chein machlet ha-mahumham, or similarly, the Mishnah says, suppose that you find a worn-out piece of cloth. Mahumham is like we have in the Mishnayos, like we have in the Mishnayos for an oval and for your site, we have mahuha shetloya ala-briya, we have a worn-out piece of cloth, or actually there, a worn-out basket or a worn-out keli or whatever that you've used as a patch on top of an intact one. So mahumham over here means the same thing. It means that it's worn out. So again, the same idea. Rashi explains we're talking about a piece of cloth from clothing of a zov, which became tamei midras. Now you have a piece of cloth from it that, again, you recognize it came from a zov, but now it's worn out. It's so worn out that it's not tamei anymore. The tumah went away because it's not usable anymore. And now you found it on top of olives. And the question is, are the olives tamei? So again, tahor. Again, we say the olives are tahor, and then the cloth, for that matter, or the sheret is tahor. Shekolat tumas keshas mitziyasan. Again, because we say that we go according to how it is when you find it. And right now, you found the sheret is burnt, and therefore it's not matame, and the piece of cloth is worn out, and therefore it's not matame. So there also, we have an example where we see that it's definitely tahor. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that remachtik tumah mimakom lemakom, and say therefore that the sheret might have been in the box, in the basket when it was in the first corner, and therefore that it should be tumah mitzvah? V'chi tema, so you might try to answer like this. You might say the difference is kishas mitziyosan bein lakula bein lachumra. You might say like this. When you're talking about a difference in time, that before this thing had a status that it wasn't tame, and now it has a status where it's not the tame, like in the case of the rusty needle or in the case of the burnt sheriff or whatever, then you would say fine, bein lakula bein lachumra. Then you would say whether lakula, we can go either lakula or lakumra. Either way, whether saying that you go kishat mitziyosan results in a kula, like in these cases where you're saying because you found the needle rusty, therefore you say that the food is not tamei, or with the burnt sheret you found it burnt and therefore you assume that it was already burnt before it landed on the olive, which would be lakula. An example of chumra would just be you find a dead sheriff over there. You find a dead sheriff in the area. Let's say conceivably it could have been there while it was alive, and then it was dropped there only after it died. But instead, you would assume that kol chumra kishas mitziyosan, and you would say that you go according to how it is right now. So you could say when you go according to time, for example, before the creature was alive and now it's dead, before it was dead but intact and now it's dead and burnt, etc. Then you would say you go according to kishas mitziyosan. Over makam mitziyasan, but that's only when you find them in the same place where they were originally. Avol shaloi b'makam mitziyasan, but you could argue maybe Rabbi Yochanan would understand that if you have a question whether it was in the same place the whole time or whether it was moved from one place to another, maybe he would say misra floistar finan mitla talinan. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan would say fine, we can't say that it's vadei tamei, that it definitely was moved from point A to point B, and therefore that the food should be tamei, but at least we should say that the food is suffix tamei. So maybe Rabbi Yochanan would make a distinction between place and time, but even that doesn't work, because the Hotan, we learn in a Mishnah, or actually it's a Braisa really, so the Hotanya really it should be, Kikir al-Gabe Hadaf, suppose that you have a loaf of bread sitting on a shelf. You have a shelf sticking out of the wall, and you have a loaf of bread sitting on the shelf. You have a loaf of bread sitting on the shelf. Umada tome munach tachta. Underneath the shelf, you have a mada which is tome. Now, what is mada? So Rashi explains like this: you have the din is. We know that a zov is matame anything that he sits on. That's tumas midrash. You also have a concept that there's something called el yoino shel zov, something above a zov, which also is tame, and we'll see on Amud Beis whether it's tame midaraisa or midrabban. So that kind of thing is called that kind of thing is called mab. So it's considered. So Rashi explains that right now, as matters stand right now, we're assuming that this concept of El Yonei Shel Zov is actually something that exists, all right? Just start with saying that it's a lesser tumor because Zov, to be exact, means, for example, something that a Zov carries, or something which is above a Zov, and therefore, like, if it were to fall, then it would be landing directly on top of him, and his body weight would be carrying it. So Rashi says right now...
Almost like a porch sticking out of a building.
Sort of, yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know if it would apply to an actual porch, because that's Mechubal Akarka, that's another matter, but let's say, to use the example of all Gemara, let's say at one point you had a Zov was sitting on a chair or something, and you had, let's say, a floor spread out over him. Let's say, for example, somebody had put up a cloth as like a tent, or like an umbrella or something. Let's say here, yeah, there's a good example. Let's say like an umbrella that was over the Zov. So at this point, Rashi says, Gemara is assuming that that concept applies right. But what it is, it's tumakala in the sense that, a midrash of something that a Zov sat on would actually be an avatumah. It would be metame a person, it would be metame a kalim, as opposed to a madra, we would assume is not that kind of tumah. We would assume at this point it's daraisa, but it's only a rishon. So now again, the scenario is you have a shelf sticking out of the wall, you have a loaf of bread sitting on the shelf, underneath the shelf on the ground over there, let's say you have a piece of cloth that previously was used, let's say, as an umbrella or a sunshade or whatever, over the Zov. So now what happens is, later on, we come and find the loaf of bread on the ground. It's not directly on top of that madaf. It's not directly on top of that piece of cloth. It's some distance away. But even if the scenario is such that there's no way that the bread could have fallen off the shelf without touching the piece of cloth, nevertheless the bread is tahor, shani omer, and the reason is because we can say adam tahor nichnas hasham v'nafla, because we can say what happened is not necessarily did the bread fall down. It's true that if the bread fell off the shelf, inevitably it would have had to fall onto the piece of cloth and become tummy from it, because the cloth is at least a rishon matumah. It can make food tummy. But we would say that even though that's the case, even though if the bread fell off, it would have had to touch the cloth, because the cloth is directly underneath the shelf. Nevertheless, we say the bread is tahor, as long as we don't find it actually touching the cloth, because maybe a person took it off the shelf and put it on the ground. Ad sheyomer, and that's true, ad sheyomer, unless the person who owns the bread says, bori li shel nichnas adam sham. Unless the owner of the house says, I know for a fact nobody went in here, then, of course, if nobody went in, and there's no other way to put it on the floor other than by falling off the shelf. The scenario we're talking about is it would have had to fall onto the piece of cloth, therefore it would be tummy. But the point is, as long as we can say that a person moved it, then we're going to say that a person moved it. And we're not going to say that we go, of course, and we're not going to say that we go, that even though we're talking about from one place to another. The Amar Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Elazar said on that, Loi Nitzricha, this that we're saying that we need to be able to say that maybe somebody came and took it, is only talking, El Lamakam Midroin, is only talking about if the shelf is slanted. So in other words, if the shelf is not slanted, and the bread could have stayed on it the whole time, then we don't even need the Shani Yoyma, because then obviously under normal circumstances, the bread is not going to fall off a regular shelf. So even when the shelf is slanted, and it's just as likely that the bread fell down as that somebody took it off there, even then we accept the likelihood that somebody may have moved it and that somebody could have been taher, and therefore there's no problem. So even in that case, we say that. So even though there's a 50-50 chance that it could have fallen off the shelf or that somebody could have moved it, we still say pull up to him, it's to pass the field, son. We don't actually find it touching the cloth, which is a mada. Therefore, we assume that it didn't actually touch the mada, but rather that somebody took it. So even when it comes to mimakim lamakim, we don't have a problem. So why would Rabbi Yechanan be saying we have a problem? Tosfos, by the way, points out there's a different Gemara that talks in Poland that talks about cases where you have a keli that was originally in one place and then you went and found it and you found it in a different place, and we say that it's tamei misafek because a tamei person may have moved it. Why don't we say the same thing? Why don't we say the same thing with the bread over here? So actually, there's a lot of different answers. Tosfos themselves answers over here that Rabbi Natan gives an answer that the difference is kalim. Big deal. So you say it's tummy, there's no great loss for the person. You can always dip them in a mikveh. So just to be on the safe side, say that it was a tummy personal movement. All you need to do then is put it in a mikveh, and you're back, and then wait for head of shemesh, and you're back to normal. As opposed to food, it's better.
What was the item? Well, I thought you said the cake.
The case in the Gemara over here is a loaf of bread. But the case of the Gemara is a loaf of bread, a truma. But Tosfos points out, you have a similar scenario that's mentioned in the Gemara in Chulin, talking about, let's say, for example, a person put an axe in one corner of a room, and later on he came and found it in a different corner, then we have to be concerned that the person, obviously somebody moved it, an axe doesn't move around by itself. So the person who moved it may have been Tomei, and therefore we say the axe is Tomei Nisafik. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Why are we assuming... An axe made for chopping wood or something, yeah.
Oh, okay, I couldn't.
Yeah, actually, in Stockholm it talks about an axe. In Poland it talks about, let's say, a case where you have, let's say, a jug, you have, let's say, a pitcher that you left it, you left the pitcher uncovered, you left the pitcher covered, and you come and find the cover off of it. So also, same thing. The cover obviously has to have been taken off by somebody. It might have been a tummy person. Therefore, we make a tummy mistake. So why don't we say the same thing over here that the bread, yeah, okay, let's say even we assume the bread didn't fall off the shelf. Let's say we assume that somebody moved it. How do we know what makes us say that person is tahor? Maybe he was tummy. The Tosfos over here brings, Rabbeinu Tam says the difference is that kalim which can be machmor. You have a keli, you have an axe or a pitcher or whatever.
Right, that will be different.
Yeah, you just take it to a mikveh and have done with it. As opposed to food, you can't do that, especially if it's food of truma, then that's it. It's gonna have to be burnt. So therefore the Chacham didn't want to be machmor on it. Also Tosfos gives a different reason. That over here you have a very good reason to assume that Dafka posted movement. Because what happens, again, the laws are saying, we're talking about over here, a slanted shelf, and directly below it is a mada. So if somebody comes by, and sees, wait a minute, this is truma bread over here, if it falls on that mada, forget about it, it's going to be a goner. Better let me move it. And therefore, the assumption would be that he's a taller person, because if he's a tummy person, then he's making things worse by moving it. Those are a couple of answers that Tosfos gives. Then there are a couple of other Rishonim have other answers about it. The Rambam gives an interesting answer like this. When it comes to a keli, why would it be you left a keli in one corner of the room, like an axe, for example? How comes it that you find it in another corner? It must be, it's not that somebody came and moved it, Sam, for the fun of moving it. Probably the person who moved it in order to use it. Well, we know again, if you use somebody's thing without permission, you're a gazlan. Well, if he's a gazlan, if somebody is cautious on doing that, he's cautious of taking the axe and using it, let's say, without permission, then already we have to be choshish that maybe he's also tummy. If he's careless with the din of Gneva and Gneva, he might also be careless with some of the Tala. Therefore we have reason to assume that he was tummy. As opposed to with the bread, he obviously didn't take it to eat it, because if he took it to eat it, it wouldn't be there. Like this, we find it on the floor. So therefore, similar to Tosfos' second explanation, there's much more reason to think that he moved it for a positive purpose, in order that it doesn't fall off the shelf and become tummy, and therefore once we see that he's doing it for a positive purpose like that, we have good reason to assume that he himself is tummy. Okay. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the question, so again, the question is on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, according to our last understanding of the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiyah, the machlokes is talking about a case where you had a basket of fruit that was truma that was previously in one corner of a room. Later on, it was in another corner, and you find a sheref and you find a sheref in the basket in the second corner. And the question is, was the sheref there in the first corner, and then it was moved with it to the second corner, and in that case, all the food in there is tamei, or is it that Or is it that it only fell into the basket after it was moved to the second corner, and then the original tariffs that were stored in that basket are tar? And Rav Yochanan is telling us that it's tameh, at least in the suffix, because he's saying machzikin tumah mimakom lemakom. We may have to assume that it the tumah went along with the basket. But we see from this last case that we're not machzik tumah mimakom lemakom. We say that even though it's possible that the bread fell off the shelf and touched the madaf that was underneath it, and then rolled further along on the ground, nevertheless, we don't say that. We assume that a person and a Torah person at that took it off the shelf. So why does Rav Yechanan say differently? The answer is the Gemara says Chosin kept a funny timer. Over there we have actually a brighter. We have the very same brighter. We explain why we can be made of, why we can say it's good. Chani Omer Adam Torah Nichnas Hashem Menachem. Because we just said a Torah person could have taken the bread off the shelf. There is what to be toiled on. There is something to be able to say. There is a reasonable supposition to be able to say that a person who was Torah took it off the shelf and it never became Tomei in the first place. As opposed to the fact of the matter is, you find a sheriff in the basket. In that case, you don't actually find the bread touching the madaf. If it did, there's nothing to talk about. You're talking about, did the bread previous touch the madaf or not? You can say you can be totally in a person moving it off the shelf so it doesn't fall onto the madaf. But over here, the fact is, you find the sheriff in the basket. It was obviously there at some point. Well, if you go according to Shas Mitzyasa, then you have to say that the Tolatum is Shas Mitzyasa. In that case, it's very likely that it was there in the first corner also. Hey, the Gemara says, why? Hachanami, by the same logic, you could say over here, name a Odev also the Shada. You could say the same thing. You could say that a raven or some other bird of prey dropped or had this dead sheret because it was going to eat, and it dropped it, and it landed in the box. So the same way as you could say, the box, when it was in the first corner, there was no sheret. Later on, you moved it to the other corner. Then, after it was in the second corner, a raven flew by and dropped the sheret on it, and that's how you come to find a sheret in it. So you have also something that you could suppose to find the scenario how the sheriff comes to be there in the second corner without it having ditched the first corner. Okay, the Gemara answers, that's an odom to a kavana. The difference is when a person does things with intent, therefore I'm in them. So therefore we can say it's possible, it's likely that he actually took it off the shelf. Odom, like a kavana, a raven doesn't act with intent, it's a bird. Therefore, Lyamrin, and therefore we're not gonna suppose maybe a bird dropped it. Maybe, of course, it's conceivable that a bird did drop it off, but we're not gonna say that because a bird doesn't act the kavana, and therefore there's no particular strong logic to say that it actually did. Fine. So come on out. Still, next, let's consider. In this case of the bread, high kicker suffered tumah b'rishus hayachid. After all, this piece of bread is a case of sopet tuma b'rishus hayachid. Because you're talking about whether this is in a rishus hayachid, it's in a room, and we have a case where it's sopet, whether it's tameh, the chol sopet tuma b'rishus hayachid tzmei for tameh. Don't we have the rule, as we learned earlier in the Gemara, that we learned from Sota, that just like a Sota, you have the sopet that occurs in rishus hayachid, where she's secluded alone with this other guy, and will sopet whether she was tameh or not, and we consider her as if she was Vade Tome until she drinks the soda water. And from that, we learn the concept of Sophic Tumah Rishos HaYachid is Tome. So over here, it's Rishos HaYachid. It's a Sophic Tumah. Why isn't the bread Tome? The answer is, Mishum Dehavik Dabar She'en Bei Das Lishon. The answer is, because another detail we learn from Sota, the Sota is a woman. She's a Bas Das. She has the ability, we are able to ask her, were you Tome or not? Now, of course, granted, if she says, I wasn't Tomei, we still don't take her at her word. We still make her drink the soda water. Only if she says, I am Tomei, then we don't, and then she divorces her husband, and her husband divorces her, and that's that, and she loses her soba, and that's that. But the point is, right. She has the das to be asked, did you become Tomei with this guy or not? So therefore, from that we learn, this whole concept of sopet tumah b'rishus hayachid only applies to something which has das. We're going to talk about that, I think, later in the Masechta. We're going to talk about, for example, the difference between adults and children. Adults have das, children don't. And here we're talking about a person versus an inanimate object. So here we're talking about a piece of bread. So therefore, the bread has no das to be asked. And so the rule is anything which is not capable of being asked, like a piece of bread or a paley or a child or what have you, then bein b'shutei yachid, bein b'shutei rabim, bein b'shutei rabim, bein b'shutei yachid, b'shutei tzahar. Then it's mustafa, it's tzahar, whether it's in b'shutei yachid or b'shutei rabim. So therefore the fact that the shelf and the bread and the maduk and all that stuff were in the b'shutei yachid doesn't matter because the bread itself doesn't have that. Okay. The Barisema, or the Gemara answers, another possibility you can answer. The reason why this case is different, the reason why we're makel and we said that the bread is for sure tahor, unlike Rabbi Yochanan, is Hocha b'tumah d'rabbanan. Because over here, we're not necessarily talking about a madak which is a tumah d'araisa. We could be talking about a madak which is only tumah d'rabbanan. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi brings over here an explanation that says that we still are talking about the same kind of madaf as before, something that was used, let's say, as a sunshade over the zav, but now the Gemara is assuming that that's only matamid d'rabban. Rashi says that's wrong. It is definitely matamid d'araisa. We're going to learn later on. We're going to learn later on in the fourth parak of Amos Esther, we're going to talk about this concept of madaf and talk about that it is matamid d'araisa. Rather, Rashi says, we're not at all talking about over here a madaf that came from an actual zav. We're talking about, we have a concept of milus of tuma and tara, d'rabanan. For example, you have the concept that regular people who eat cholim, that their clothes and everything are considered a zav and are considered midras relative to people who eat truma. In other words, midrabanan, a person who's completely tahor, he's completely tahor as far as cholim. But if he hasn't toveled specifically having in mind that he's going to be tahor for truma, then he and his clothes will be metame anybody who's going to eat truma. And the same thing, you go from truma to kodesh, and the same thing, you go from kodesh to chasas, which is hara adruba. So each one is milus midrabanon, where you have each one, they need to tovel, and they need to tovel themselves and their clothing, and have in mind that they're being metahor themselves for this specific purpose. So here, we assume that the madaf we're talking about over here was actually used as, let's say, a sunshade over an actual zav. No, so now we're saying it's not an actual zav. What we're dealing with over here is, let's say, for example, he's somebody who's oichol chulin b'tara. He's one of the Talmid HaChamim who are apparently the Dinim of Truma b'tara. But unless he had in mind that he's toveling for the sake of Truma, then he's a Tamim, the Rabbanan, and people who eat Truma. Well, very well then. His clothes are considered a Maduk relative to a piece of bread of Truma. So in that case, we're going to be mekel and say, even though it's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and usually in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, we would say, that a Sofik is Tameh. Here we're going to say it's Tahor, because we're only talking about a Tumah. Here it's talking about only a Tumah D'Rabbanan. But what we're saying is, because it's only a Tumah D'Rabbanan, therefore we don't care whether it's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Tosfos learns a little differently. Tosfos says we're not even necessarily talking about a madaf of that type, the type which exists only d'rabbanan. We're talking about what we're saying by mentioning tumah d'rabbanan is even if the scenario is such. Suppose that there is no way to be Tola that an Adam Tahar came. Suppose, for example, like you said, he knows for a fact nobody came into the room. Nevertheless, because we have a suffix, and we're talking about only a Tumah D'Rabbanan, therefore we can be Makel even though it's in Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Sigmas is Geika Nami. In fact, we can see clearly from the wording of the Braita that we're talking about only this kind of Tumah D'Rabbanan. Jekatani Madaf. Because Braita had used the expression madaf, kedichtiv olen nidaf, where the word madaf means like the word olen nidaf in a pasuk, in the pasuk olen nidaf means like a leaf that's blown around by the wind, meaning a little nothing. Basically. So we're talking about like a little nothing of a tumah, like something that's only a tumah d'rabban, rather than as we thought originally, we're talking a tumah d'araisa. So therefore, in that case, the Mishnah would be telling us that we're makel, and we say that we assume that a tahor person came and took it, we're not worried about the shas mitziyasan and any of that. But other than that, the Mishnah would be saying that when you're talking about a tumah d'araisa, then you have to be machmir and consider it at least to be sofik tumah. The Rambam, by the way, mentions in Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam mentions that this last line of the Gemara over here about Ola Nidah, the Rambam says is actually, this is not part of the original Gemara, this he says was added by the Rabbanim to the Lord. And he has a different understanding of the word Kumas Madaf. He understands the word Madaf, Meloshim, like you have the expression a lot of times in the Gemara, Reichoi Noidit, like the smell of it spreads. So like you have only so to speak the smell of a Kumas spreads. So he apparently understands that it is like the explanation that Rashi rejects, that we're talking about the Tumma Darabam. And he apparently learns we are actually talking about an El Yonishol Zav. But nevertheless, we'll make on it, because after all, it's not something that directly touches the Zav. It's only like, so to speak, like the smell of the Zav spreads and affects this thing also. So therefore, that's a reason, therefore that would be a reason to be make about it. But not if it was an actual Tumma Daraita, such as something, or not even Daraita, even not if it was an actual source of tumor that touched the midrash of a zav, or for example a shetter, so what have you, then we wouldn't be makel like that, then we would have to be machmer like Rabbi Yochanan is saying, and say that it's at least some, if it's at least suffix on this. Okay. So we'll stop here and we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, normal time.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Night.
Tomorrow you're still going to be over the phone, or you're not sure yet?
No, tomorrow I should be back and be able to do it in